And the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Join Pastor Karen Wee Damilola Gabriel of Menorah School of the Spirit World as he heralds the revelation of the gospel of the kingdom and intimacy with the Godhead. Be blessed as you listen.
Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus forevermore. Glory to Jesus forevermore. Father, we thank you. Thank you for what you are doing in our midst tonight. Thank you for your inner workings. Thank you for your activations. Thank you for revelation. Thank you for insight into all things. Thank you for your penetrations. We give you praise and we give you glory. Thank you, precious Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Please, let's take our seat. Hallelujah. You are welcome to God's presence. It's another beautiful day in God's presence. If we are online or on site, let's do well to share the broadcast as we trust the Lord to instruct us, to give us counsel. All right, so we have been looking at Abraham's blessings. And we are making progress today. We couldn't delve much into the teaching specifically last week, because you know, sometimes the Lord hijacks our vocal cords. And so one of such reasons is because there are times the Lord is intends to communicate some realities that would shift the positions of people, that would shift their grounds, that would transform them. It's not because we don't have programs or we don't have our order, or we don't have what we have slated to teach or to unlock. However, we are still puppets in God's hand. So we must understand that sometimes the Lord does interrupt our programs, our agenda. And so we must not be rigid. We must be flexible to the flow of the Spirit. And I'm very sure that many are times that the Lord interrupts. There are specific persons that the Lord is speaking to, that the Lord is communicating His heartbeat onto, His agenda. No, it might not be for everyone, but the truth is, those that the Lord already handpicked to minister such to, they will begin to come to a place of deception. And some of those things unlocks them, activates them, establishes them. You know, the Lord can go as far as interrupting a meeting just because of a singular entity, just one person. It might not be for all. I was reading about a young man that the Lord said to him to go to a particular location for about 4 months. It wasn't pleasing. It was terrible, because the situation, the circumstances around him wouldn't permit that such journey would be blissful at all. It was with pain, with rigor. He struggled with the Lord before obliging. He struggled a lot because it wasn't pleasing. It wasn't. And I understood while I began to read. And so it came to a point where he eventually obliged. And by the time he traveled, he noticed that there was a young man there who was also in ministry, and the Lord had spoken to him that I will send you an aid, a support system, the person that will encourage you. Alright? And that man was in shambles. That man was in situations that would deprive him even of his faith. And so the only thing that man was latching on was the voice of God that said that I will send you someone. Now imagine if that man had been stiff-necked. Do you understand it? And he said he will forever praise the Lord because he obliged. And God sent him. He interrupted his journey. You see, the truth is, the Lord sometimes interrupts us, and it can come with pains. Are you following me now? Your agenda can be warped, can be distorted, just because God wants you to reach somebody. So we must be flexible. So it was just because of that one person that the Lord says that leave your comfort zone and go to a territory. And at that point in time, he was just building a young family. And you know the work of the ministry? It means that you have to go all together. You are moving from place to place, from coast to coast. Not just about you anymore. Your family is involved. Hallelujah. Are we together? So, we must learn to be yielded, to be a yielded vessel. To be a yielded vessel. To yield to the communications of God is important. You see, our lifeline and our life wire is tied to the degree of our obediences, in quote. Okay, I use that on purpose in its plurality. Our lifeline, our life wire is tied to the degree of our obediences. Are you following me now? Now, let me say something to you, brethren. I was there in my own job, in my own assignment, in my meditative adventure. You see, I want to say something to us that many believers we don't take cognizance of. And I would like to say today that please, what you call obedience is very key in your spiritual journey. Let me say this before we begin our teaching. It's very key. Some of us are stalled. Not because we don't know how to pray. Not because we don't give. But because we are stiff-necked. We do not yield to the instructions of God. To the counsels of God. Are you following me now? I'm teaching you what makes for a life of victory, a life of maximum dominion. Obedience must be complete. Are you following me? Obedience must be complete. We must learn that culture of obedience. The culture of obedience. The culture of obedience. You see, our transition from time into eternity, one thing will be judged is our life of obedience. Are you following me now? There's nothing you can do against that. Is that your life of obedience will be judged. So, I've seen where Christians just feel like they can live anyhow. No. You know, one of the things that was inspired while I was doing my meditative adventure is that the church must come to a place that we do not tone down on communicating the truth. You know why? Because men, they are bound to err. Men are what? They are bound to err. Believers alike. That's the essence why we gather to listen to God's word. Because within a twinkling of an eye, your orientation, please, your orientation about the things you have held onto can change. Yes, your convictions can change. Please pay attention. Please pay attention. And I want to tell you what brings about such. When you are piling up measures of disobediences, you are coming to a place where your convictions can be traded for errors. Please pay attention. I'm teaching you what the Lord is teaching me. Men are bound to err. Men, they are bound to err. That's why we must open up ourselves for corrections, for instructions in righteousness. One of the reasons is because so that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Thoroughly furnished. You know what it means that you rented an apartment and the place is not yet furnished. Sometimes you get in daring, you are not happy. Say, Lord, when we chair come in, Lord, when we this come in, Lord, when we that come in. Do you understand it? So the same way it is for us, when you are not furnished spiritually, if you are not furnished spiritually, you are bound to err. You err not knowing the scriptures. That's what Jesus says. You err not knowing the scriptures. So how do we hear not knowing the scriptures? That's all. Please learn the culture of obedience. Our obedience must be complete. Sometimes I weep internally. And I'm telling you the truth. I weep internally. Not because I have arrived. We are all work in progress. We are all growing. But I know what it means that our works can be judged. I know what it means that we give inroad for the demonic oppression. When we are in error. The devil takes leaps and bounds in the life of the believer that walks perpetually in error. Yes. Yes. It does. Our obedience must be complete. Please, Christians, believers, let's know this. And I think I would emphatically say this, as I've been saying always, that we are going to be judged. Let this ring into our hearings, that we are going to be judged. I know it's uncommon in church to teach that the believers will be judged. It's uncommon. So let's leave what you call L. Leave it out of the equation. Let's just assume that you are secured already. Right? Let's assume that you are secured already. Right? Is that even in your security, when we arrive, our works shall be tested. Your days of negligence, your days of disobedience, every one of them will be judged. These are my pains. I trust God over my life to be more obedient. I trust God over my life to be more faithful. Because I know what it means. I know what it means. That the man walked, that the man walked this earth. You know why I get so emotional sometimes, when I teach like this, is because of the way I'm being taught. Yeah. It's because of the way the Lord communicates to me. So I teach from that emotion. And what I tell you is the truth. Our works shall be tested by fire. It says, though the man will be saved, but yet God help us. God help us. Help our generation. Help us, O Lord. Help us to stay true. To stay committed. Hallelujah. Let's get into our Bible study. Galatians. Galatians 3. Verse 14. Maybe we have time to talk about these things extensively, maybe as a teaching. It will be so it will be so sweet, let me use that word, when we begin to talk about the issue of soul winning, okay? The issue of commitment, the issue of faithfulness. You know, those are the things that the Lord will reward. Okay? I think I was saying to us humorously in the last meeting that you notice I don't teach about 44 laws of success, how you can make money. Okay? I don't do that. There could be insight into what to do while I'm teaching. Do you understand it? But that I bring a topic, I say how you can make money. Are you following me now? You know, when I check through the ministry of Jesus, the ministry of the apostles, I didn't find none of them that thought about success, how to make money. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not in any way saying people who are teaching it. I'm only saying that my own is that there's something the Lord has committed into our hand. We must tear up the heart of the people for the kingdom. And nobody truly seeks the kingdom that every other thing doesn't follow. But in our day and time, we have seen that ministry is now popularized by the assumption of the diversities of teachings and all of those things. And like I was saying to us, that if that's the way we are built, without balance, we will still come to the place of error. Notice I said without balance. So you notice that people come to church majorly for success, for miracles, and only very few are doing the work of the ministry. People are not interested in the workforce. You announce workforce, they are not interested. They only want the hand of God. They want what God can do for them. All right? And they are not asking, what can I do for you? All they want is, what will God do to me, not what I will do to God. Are you following me now? I see. In the days when Pa Elton entered into Nigeria, one of the things that he came to judge is the popularity of prosperity message. He judged those fathers because the church in Nigeria at then was not looking like a success center. Are you following me now? Please, I'm not demeaning success. Please get me. I'm not. But I'm saying that the church that we build end time armies, they must learn. I was teaching about soldiers, right? The last meeting. Okay, yes, that was our emphasis on soldiers. We must learn that whether things are working or not, against all odds, our convictions about Jesus will not be shifted. Against all odds. We must learn that. We must learn to begin to resurface the teaching of sufferings for the purposes of the kingdom. You might not like it, but it's part of the curriculum. When you check our menu list on the kingdom, suffering is part of the menu. Are you following me? We must learn that. That's why you see that an average Christian cannot truly stay with convictions for years. The convictions can be shifted because we have not been taught right. So when God raised that man, he did ministry here for about 50 years. When God raised him, that was the first thing he came to judge. And so we are now many. There's the masquerading of a lot of people that assume that they are Christians. And one of the ways that we now judge them is when we begin to see material blessings. When we begin to see that this person is doing this and that, you know, we can truly judge, this is a true man of God. So somebody who is looking impoverished, somebody who is looking like he has not arrived, that one is not accurate. Why? Because he's not riding on the latest cars, he's not riding private jets. Are you following me now? So, you see, our discernment is now coming to a place of death gradually. Because if you look at the situation of ministry now, how do you judge? You judge by the level of ambience, the excellence, by the level of numerical growth. That if a church does not have thousands of members, then that church is not, you don't want to go. Once you enter a ministry and there are less than 100, say, God is not here. God is not here. He's not here. How do you judge the true church now? Where you find aesthetics. Where you find beautification. That the ambience is welcoming. Excellence is top notch. That say, no, this is God.
Because God only stays where is well organized and ordered. So the people who gather under the oak tree to do Bible study, God is not in their midst, because they don't have a structure that is with ambience. That's the situation of our country right now. It's the truth. It's the truth. That's the way we rate ministers. There's a pedestal we have placed those who are successful in ministry and those who are not. There's a pedestal. We place them. We have the categories. Successful pastors. Unsuccessful one. They are tabularized. Who has done this to us? Who has done this to us? If God doesn't prosper you in 3 months, He has not called me. Once you come to this church in 3 months, in 3 months, you must be wealthy. I've come to say to you that is a lie. I'm sorry I'm speaking this way. I'm just speaking out of what the Lord has taught me. The communications of the Lord to me. Are you following me now? You know, we are a small circle that we are growing. And some of these things ought to be weaved into us, and we grow with them. We grow with them. And we communicate same to our seeds. Because some of these things, men who have stumbled into them erroneously, were also equipped with them while they were growing. And the truth is, some of the convictions you have held on to while you are growing, to warp them or to distort them or to uninstall them is always very hard. That's why to learn is easy, to unlearn is hard. To learn is what? It's easy. To unlearn is hard. It's hard. Jesus will help the church. It looks as though the gate of hell is now beginning to prevail. But not the church of Jesus. Because the church that He built, He says committedly, He says with all audacity that the gate of hell shall not prevail against it. Yes. His own church. The gate of hell. That's why the primary thing that a pastor has been given to teach is to teach Jesus. Primarily, to reveal Jesus. Every other thing, sir, and mass, they are distractions. Can I be sincere with you? That every other thing, they are distractions. I've been saying that over and over again, over the years. For those of you who have been listening for years, you know I've not shifted my ground. No. I've not. We stay on course. We are set on a course to follow. Our face, my face is like the face of the flint. No shifting of ground. That if it is teaching you about prayers and the word of the Lord, if that's all, we are good. That a time will not come and say we want to double into how to make you profit in your businesses. That is not the primary teaching of a man of God. Distractions are on the rise in the body of Christ. Distractions. And I tell you, sometimes these are actually the strategies of the devil. So that men will begin to look for money at the expense of God. So we have a lot of ministers now who are wealthy, but they don't have God. God is far from them. They are extremely wealthy, extremely. Now, that's why you will imagine that a man who is acting like nuisance in the name of a man of God, that man will they will still extend invitation to that kind of man. Do you understand? That you can gather in a church and people loiter around to begin to spray money like club. Bail. And they'll be throwing like this. Because that's what the church now looks like. So there's the spreading of many churches. I think we were saying this yesterday. I was mentioned somewhere yesterday. And this burden began to rise in our spirit. There's a proliferation, spreading everywhere. But when you begin to check, there are very few equipped centers. Very few apostolic and prophetic centers. Very few. Some centers have been decorated. They are decorated with herbalism. I tell you the truth. They paint to you the sheep's clothing from outside, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. It's when you begin to enter into them that you now begin to notice strange acts, strange professions. So we have signed that we will equip men by the word, nothing more, by the word. It might not come with popularity. Are you following me now? But the truth is that we have a legacy in the spirit and in time. Glory to God. So where do men go to? Where is happening? Where is what? Where is happening? There are places that you know by yourself that this place, they don't communicate God's word. But the truth is, there's excellence in that place. See, that one is enough. Your spirit is not satisfied. There's no supply. Your appetite is not furnished. But say, no. So long as I still have my networks where I will still get jobs. You know, people go to church for many reasons now, many other reasons. A person will hang around a church for donkey years just because of connection. Because he knows that so long as I'm here, my fashion designing job will take a leap. They are veterans in this place. They are people of high profile in this environment. So they only hang around to promote their businesses, their enterprise, their engagement. That's all. So I think it was John who says that they went out of us, but they are not part of us. Yes, First John. They went out of us, but the truth is they are not part of us. Those who think that the gospel is meant for gain. That's what Paul says. That they think that the gospel is meant for gain. Of such, he says, you depart. Of such, what do you do? You see, there are times that you begin to look at people when you see their appetite. That this one, his own appetite is different from mine. The Bible advocates that of such, you do what? They are believers. Oh. But once their appetite, they don't talk about prayers. They don't talk about how do we study together. All they are looking for is what is the latest, what is trending. When you find a believer who feels comfortable to constantly come around you and discuss BB Ninja, you know that something is happening to you small, small. Are you following me now? Because you can't be exposed to an obscene sin. Of such, depart. That's why you must sieve and filter your company. Once that company is becoming erroneous, the Bible advocates that you do what? You depart. You must sieve them. You must filter them. You must filter them. You don't keep... Am I teaching today? You don't keep a company that does not subscribe to your kind of convictions. Are you following me now? No, you don't keep them. You say, but we have been growing together. You can grow together. But the time comes where we separate the wheat from the chaff. So you must learn that technology of separating the what? You separate men from boys. Because you know where you are headed. And you cannot permit distractions. Not for anything. Distractions, not for anything. It's one of the things I don't permit. Distractions. That's why I don't keep friends. Hallelujah. I don't flock around with people. No. Say I'm alone. Thank you. Glory to God. You know my friends, those of you I see around. They came to Jesus and they said to him that your mother, your father, everybody, your siblings, they are looking for you. Said, are you serious? These ones that are listening to me, these are my what? I'm not sure you can point somebody that will say that Pastor Karen Wee is my friend. You know what it means to be friend? To be friends. Do you know what it means? You are rolling together. You have edict. You say, bro, I'm having edict now. Glory to God.
Don't mind me. On a lighter mood. Thank you, Father. All right, so let's do Bible study. Are we blessed already? Galatians chapter 3 and verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. All right? We've been talking about the blessing of Abraham, right? And the Bible says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. This is something that I think we have to take our time to dissect. Because when you check critically, you will discover that Abraham was not a Gentile. Are you following me? Now, do we take our time to study? Was he? He was a Jew, isn't it? And so the Bible is saying to us that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So, let's look at what is the Lord saying. And when the Lord was marketing that blessing to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, what was the Lord trying to communicate? We have seen that Abraham's blessing, right, is primarily the salvation that is in Christ Jesus through faith. Okay, let's do something first. Let's do John chapter 8. I think this John 8 will set the tone. Oh, glory to God. Let me show you something powerful. Ooh, glory to God. John chapter 8. I think I should start from here. It will help us. All right, from verse 31. Please, we are going to do long readings. Just pay attention, okay? And let's calm down to take our time. Since it's going to be a blessing to us. John's Gospel, chapter 8. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Notice the audience. Who are the audience? The Jews, right? Don't forget that Jesus said to, I think, the Syrophoenician woman, that I'm sent primarily to the lost sheep of Israel, primarily to the Jews, because it was to the Jews that the Lord covenanted himself, primarily. Okay? The Gentiles, they are the extension of the covenant. Okay? And so when the Lord came to Abraham, God also showed that to him. God showed to Abraham that I'm not only interested in the Jews, the Jewish nation, I'm also interested in the Gentiles. That was why all that Abraham achieved was by faith, not just by covenant. Are you getting it now? Not just by covenant, but by faith. You notice that God entered into covenant with Abraham. Right? Genesis 15. But it was not just by covenant that Abraham was accepted. He became righteous by faith. And Abraham believed. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. Not just because of the covenant. And it was on the threshold or the template of that belief that all that who are not part of the Jewish nation, we also come into the commonwealth of Israel, into the commonwealth of Zion, on the template of the belief, not just the covenant. Oh God. Are we getting it now? Okay, let's make progress. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Who are those he's speaking to?
primarily. They answered him with the Abraham seed. Who are those talking? The Jews said they'd be what? So that means Abraham was a Jew. Hello? Because when I said it the other time, many of you kept quiet. That's why I love to show you scriptures for everything. I don't rush. I like to show scriptures that we see ourselves. And they answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and we are never in bondage." Ah, glory. I want to start something. So you are going to be blessed. Amen. You know, these things I say them to encourage myself. As I'm saying it, the teaching grace is coming alive. Yes, something is activated. So when I say you are going to be blessed, it's not for you. It's for me. I'm activating something. You are going to be blessed. How we were never in bondage. This is a statement of stupidity. Because I will show you that they were in bond. To any man, how sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. If the son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed." Now, Jesus acknowledges. And he says that, "I know that ye..." I have reason why I said Jesus acknowledged. I have reason. Because we are going to make progress. "I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you." Verse 38. "I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father." They answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus saith unto them, "If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham." Please, just watch the progression of this reading. This claimed that they were Abraham's seed. Right? Jesus acknowledged that that's true. But on the other hand, he also did not acknowledge that it is true. Oh, glory to God. There's something Jesus is doing here. Okay? Jesus says that he acknowledges first. He says, "I know that ye are Abraham's seeds, but ye seek to kill me." On the other hand, he also said that if ye were Abraham's seed, ye would have done the works of Abraham. Is there any confusion here? There's a reason why. Somebody say, "You get why." Oh, awesome Jesus. "But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father." Said they to him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God." These are the people saying to God. They are talking to God. They say they have one father, and that father is God. You know, there's this this theory of universalism. You know, there are all kinds of theory. There is humanism or human secularism. Okay, there is also universalism. There are all kinds of school of thought, and this school of thought believe that everyone will be saved, especially the Jews. Why? Because they said God had covenant with them. So it means that the Jews will automatically be saved. But that's not in scriptures. Are you following me? It's not in scriptures. So that we do not believe erroneously. There are things that we must refute. You know, sometimes you can you can be combated or confronted with questions from scriptures. That's why we must know. It's not to puff up. No. It's for stability. And also to influence those who have been taught erroneously. Some can come and ask you the question. As they might not have access to the pastor, but they know you are following the pastor. So, how about this? How about that? How do you attend to them? That's why we must learn. We must learn scriptures. We must know. You don't have to pastor to know. No, you don't have to pastor. You can be in business. Oh, but you have insight into scriptures. Are you following me now? That's the kind of church we should build. That's why we, business persons, politicians, everyone, they must be available for Bible study. Students, available for Bible study. You must know. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Freedom comes with truth. Freedom does what? Comes with truth. Hallelujah. Verse 42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Hello? Jesus now began to enter into his teaching. He now says, ye are of your father. Who is their father? The devil. Now, the truth is, listen. These guys, biologically, they are the seed of Abraham. But spiritually, they are the seed of the devil. Did you get that? Jesus is now showing them their status quo in the spirit. This is their state in the spirit. All they are privy to is their natural state, their nativity. And the truth is that, naturally speaking, they are the seed of Abraham. But God doesn't gaze, or God doesn't establish. Sorry, how best can I put it? God does not just acknowledge you first as a physical entity. You are acknowledged as a spiritual entity. That's why he says to Nicodemus, except a man is born again, that man cannot see the kingdom of God. So there's the natural birth, there's the spiritual birth. These guys are having glory, naturally speaking. They are glorying the fact that they are the natural seed of Abraham. But that's not what God is looking for. God is looking for the seed that is immaculate to Abraham. Are you following me? That in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And Galatians told us that when God talks about the seed, he was not talking about many seeds. He's talking about a seed. And that seed is Christ. So it was the Christ that was standing before them. They didn't acknowledge Christ. The seed that God sowed. Do you understand what I'm saying? They were standing in front of Christ, the promised Messiah. But they were referring to the natural stance of Abraham instead of the spiritual stance of God's possibilities. So Jesus says, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, He speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Are we together now? So, Jesus truly acknowledged that, naturally speaking, they are the seeds of Abraham. But spiritually speaking, they are not his own seed. Is it clear to us? Spiritually speaking, they are the seed of the devil. He said to them emphatically that their father is the devil. So it means that they are people that are the devil fathers. They are Jews today that the devil is still fathering. So that assumption that all Jews will be saved is not consistent with scriptures. The Jews that will be saved are the Jews that believe. You do not believe, you are not saved. It's as simple as that. You do not believe, yes, you are not saved. No belief, no salvation. Now, please scroll up. Let's get to go to verse 48. Let's start from verse. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? They were saying this to Jesus. Jesus said that they are the seed of the devil. And they are saying to Jesus that you are a devil. Glory to God. Funny guys. Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. And this was what sparked the whole thing. This was the thing. This one crazed their head. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou, you have a devil. Because something must be wrong with you. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. So what do you mean? Our father Abraham, that is older than you, is dead. The prophets are dead. How old are you? And you are saying to us that if a man keeps your saying, that man will never see death. You are a devil. Hallelujah. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Kilo fiara ekbi. That's Yoruba. Whom makest thou thyself? Who are you? You are proud. Please come and sit down here. Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Right? Yet, ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father, oh God, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Now you now notice what Jesus has been saying since from when we started. Have you been following the progression of the reading? You now notice what Jesus has been saying. Jesus is saying, your father Abraham rejoiced. You see, this is the crux of the whole matter. But if Jesus pushes it to them like that, But he took his time to begin to build his doctrine. That's how you don't rush when you are teaching. It took time. It took time. He now showed to them that the Father Abraham that you are honoring, he rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and he was glad, right? Now let's make progress. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old. And that's the truth. That they are not lying. They knew when Jesus was born. And all that Jesus spent was 33 and a half years, right? Or 33 years. So when they said, you are not, they were correct. Absolutely. Naturally speaking, they were correct. And as thou seen Abraham, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. That conference scattered. In that, they began to carry chair. Say, we are going to kill you. They carry fan, chair, everything. Say, today, what do you mean? You that you were born in a manger. When they gave birth to you, there was no more space in the inn. The hospital was filled up. We know what are you saying? we can tell the kind of cow they killed when they did your naming ceremony. You now said before Abraham, our own father, that we revere, that we honor. The Bible says, then they took the up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through. You know, it was a conference. A conference. You imagine this kind of teaching in a conference. It will scatter things. They called this heresy in their own language. Heresy. Are you following me now? All Jesus was trying to let them know here. Let me tell you the background, the entirety of the communication is that Jesus is showing them that your birth in Abraham naturally is not enough. There's another birth that brings you into the economy of God, and you must learn that, and you must acknowledge that the Abraham that you revere, that you honor, and notice the name that Jesus, the appellation that Jesus acknowledged here, he acknowledged that he is I am. This is the only name that God mentioned by himself. Every other name, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Shammah, they were the names of experiences. They were what men supplied. Yes. Jehovah Sidkenu, Mekodishkem, Melek, Mezik, all of those things. Are you following now? They were the names of experiences. Men named them. It was Abraham who named the experience that he had with God, Jehovah Jireh. It was not God who spoke to him. But the name that God spoke, that is when Moses said, what name shall I tell Pharaoh when I come before him? Say, tell him that I am that I am. That's the only name Jesus acknowledged in the new covenant. Or in the synoptic gospels. Okay? Let me balance my statement. In the synoptic gospel. Because this name is the same thing as Jesus. Amen? All of those things, just Jesus is enough. Amen. Is what the Bible says, he has given us a name, not many names. He has given us a name that is above every other name. That at the name, not mentioned, at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. Is a name, the name of Jesus is enough. Jesus is more than enough for me. Do you understand? Is enough. It's enough. Just stay with that. Well, and if your conviction is with many names, well, I'm not saying don't call Jehovah Shama, Sidkenu. Amen.
Well, the Lord will help us.
I think I've told you of a story of a young boy, a young guy that began to call all kinds of names. They wrote it in a paper for him. He was calling them. I think they said they were angelic names.
Angels, they have names. But the only two that is clearly spelled out in scripture, the only two, is Michael and Gabriel.
There are men who have had experiences that angels told them their names. Amen. But those are not doctrines. Okay? We must stay with doctrine. We must stay with the word. I know personally, but you never hear me say them. Because it's not doctrine. We don't push such to the general populace. We must stay within the boundaries of scriptures. Are we together now? Alright? So as he began to call, it happened that on a particular night, he just noticed that cockroaches filled the whole room where he was standing. The whole room. And those cockroaches perched on him. They sucked his blood. You won't believe that that was the end of that guy's life. They tried all they could to rescue him, but that was the end of his life. I'm sorry to say, his end is rubbish. I don't know those who are in hell. And I'm not giving the legal ground to say this one is hell, this, that is hell. But I have my personal convictions about him. Are you following me now? No, because now we have men of God who are gatekeepers in hell. Yes, there are men who are gatekeepers in hell. Pastors. And for you to know those who are in hell, right? It means that you are there. I'm saying that because you cannot be altogether accurate. Yes. You can't be. You can't be. We have heard a lot of testimonies about men of God. And they told us that they had an encounter and they saw them in hell. One of such, the foremost one, was about Bimbo Dukoya. In that year that she died. So God has shown it again. I saw her with trousers in hell. It was so, I was so shocked, even though we were growing in those days, but I was so shocked to now notice that spirits wear trousers. Are you with now? That this embodied spirit, can now wear trousers. My God. I honor Rev. Because if it was air that you were in, I was saying to, I say it oftentimes, Rev, you know, not Nollywood, African magic, it has distorted our revelatory faculties. Are you following me now? Because it is Nollywood, you will see somebody who just died. You will see the person come out of himself and look at his body on the ground. I said, you will look at the body. Oh, so I have died. You see a spirit shaking his head for his dead body. Oh. So our visions are also decorated with such errors. So you see a spirit wearing trousers. And those videos sold those years. They must produce CDs. I'll never forget one church I went to minister. Before service started, before meeting started, you know they do film show. So before VG we start. So the film show, it was one of such CDs that they were playing. Oh my. That thing killed the morale of that meeting. It was just because I had my atmosphere. It was my atmosphere that helped. You need to hear people say, The man was mentioning the name of ministers of the gospel. Say, I saw him in hell. I saw this one. The truth is that man can't make heaven. Because he's now used to hell. Are we good? Are we together now? It's my own opinion. It's my opinion. Glory to God. The Lord will help us. So, I'm not a gatekeeper in hell. So let me just clear my own. I'm not. So I don't know those who are going to hell. And even if I know, it's personal to me. Are you following me now? But you see, this kind of revelation we are bringing to the body, we are doing the body a lot of harm. And the truth is, hear me, that there will be so much surprises in heaven. That one, I know it for sure. That there are people that you do not believe. I know that some of you get there and you'll be shocked. So you came. So you made it. Say, but I knew you to be the, you see, those who were part of the system in the days of Mary Magdalene, they would not have believed. Do you understand? She was a first class prostitute. But when Jesus came, you know, some people will say, you are born again. Some people say, no, yeah. It's just packaging. You know, there are people who believe like that. Say, born again, no. We do these things together now. You can't be born again like that. Hallelujah. I'm sure there were friends of Mary Magdalene that also say such. But it will be shocking that when everybody arrives, you just notice that I didn't see her in hell. And because you have two options. Is that you are looking for them in hell and you can't find them. Are we together? Or you are looking for them where? No middle ground. No purgatory. Where they will come and wash you first. They will. You see, the Lord will need to visit Rome. Rome. Because that's the old of this era. You know, the prevalent church in Rome is Catholics. And they held on to this. It's not that charismatic Catholics are coming out, who believe in the Holy Ghost, who believe in the things of the Spirit. But in the entire Rome, and they are the most populous. You see, that's why the coming of Jesus physically can be now. I'm sorry, I'm not saying that Jesus, he is coming, but physically. There are still many lands to cover, many grounds to cover. We have about 9 billion persons, or more than, and only about 2.6 billion are acclaimed Christians, included are those in Rome. And you know what it means? They are included in Christian. You know, one of the acclaimed, let me tell you one thing that is funny. One of these guys that is making a move for sensationalism or cessation or referendum. Do you understand that? One of them. You know, there are two persons. I don't want to mention names, that's why. There are two persons. One represents the East and one represents the West, right? So I was hearing one man say to us that in one of the interviews, say, and this one is a good person. Oh. Say he's a good person. And I said, do we believe that he's a Christian? I think, did you hear it? My wife heard it too. So, and he's a Christian. No? I said, yeah. When we even heard from his own mouth, said the power that he's using, that was God who gave him. God gave me power. You know? We need to sieve what we hear. What enters into us. We need to sieve them. We need to, like I said earlier, we need to filter them. You know, there is this general belief that we serve the same God. That all of us, it doesn't matter where you are coming from, it is still the same God that we serve. So if you are a Buddhist, the same God. If you are a Muslim, the same God. If you are an herbalist, a traditional person, the same God. Right? That's the make-believe that we have now, in generally speaking, not in the body. Are we together? And that's the same thing that entertainment industry is painting to us. Have you noticed what they do in your movie? That if pastor doesn't work, they go and test a Muslim cleric. And if that doesn't work, so invariably, what they are painting to your soul, that you are opening your soul to, is that sometimes when God is slow, you can consult an herbalist. You will just notice that thing begins to enter into you. Amen? The thing just... You every time you watch, say, I'm a believer, no problem. But there are situations that will eat you, that you will consider it. The option will come. Yes, you might not do it, but the fact that the option came means that something is wrong with you. That the fact that the alternative came. Say you have tried God. Let's try this one too. Amen? Let's try this one. This one will also work. Say, but you have been praying now. You have been praying. God is not against it too. God created it. The elixir, the concoction, says God is natural. Hallelujah. I know that these things, some of you are still happy now. Don't worry. Pray about something for 5 years. And you are not seeing results. You will see alternatives begin to they will begin to shine their eyes like this. In your eyes. If you are, your mother-in-law will tell you, say, Alpha. if you are standing, friends around will tell you, go and ask Job. Curse God. Your wife could be used. Your husband could be used. People around can be used. I'm preparing you for the future. The message is a preparation for your future. You will now know that you can shift convictions. I don't know. I'm still leaving Bible study and coming back to this thing. It's a body. You will know that he is easy to shift ground. It's very easy. That's why constantly we must fan our convictions. We fan it to flames. It's not just a matter of words. Okay? We fan it. Constantly we fan it. Because it's easy to shift ground. At a point in time, in the ministerial excuses of Peter and Barnabas, a point came that John Mark decided to step aside. Are you following me now? What caused rift between Paul and Barnabas was because of John Mark. And there was a point that Paul gave. Said because he didn't follow us, he left us. The same thing with this guy. What is his name now? Demas. The Bible specifically told us that he loved this world. And you say, you know what they tell us now is that maybe they were not truly born again. Forget that nonsense. Yep, grace revolutionist. Saying that if somebody's love wanes, that maybe the person was not truly born again. So are you saying to me that there are no points in your life that your love works cold? That you don't pray well? That you rise up like this and you don't want to pray? No, are you saying to me it doesn't happen to you? Does love wanes? It does. Does that mean you are not born again? You can't tell me I'm not born again. So, in the bid to cover up for lapses, that's maybe they were not truly born again. What's that nonsense? Convictions. If not properly upheld, one could shift ground. There are things that you held in high esteem for donkey years that within a twinkling of an eye, right before you, you could fall cheaply. Ask those who loses their dignity anyhow. You notice something that they said to us? I didn't bargain for this. You will know that something quickly came up that shifted their they were not planning it. Are we together? Are we getting blessed? Let's get back to. Then they took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus, alright. So I was saying to us that the entire lesson of this passage is to show to us that there is what the Lord intends to achieve with a spiritual birth. And this is why you see that the audience of Jesus' communication were the Jews. Because the Jews had come to a point that they believed that God is centered around them and no one else. I will finish it today, please. Because I won't be in town next week. So they believe that the gospel is centered around them. That the covenant was exclusive to them. Customized to them. So they don't want to see any neighboring entity claiming to be a part of the system. So you see arguments going on in scripture severally. It happened to Jesus at Jacob's well. The woman saying to Jesus that you are a Jew, I'm a Samaritan, we don't have relationship. That middle wall of partition had been, it had separated them for donkey years. In fact, they have their paraphernalia, their garments, the way they dress. So it's easy to know who is a Jew and who is a non-Jew. Even by their ears. Are you following me now? To that extent, to that degree. So you know what it means. And when God was marketing the word in thy seed shall all the family of the earth bear, God was not only referring to the Jews. Are you following me now? That's why you see that it was in the same house of Abraham that two covenants were born. The covenant of the bond woman and the free. In the same house. We only say that Abraham made a mistake. But the truth is that there's a provision for remedy, even in the mistake. Right? That he gave birth to Ishmael. There's a provision for Ishmael to come into the covenant, to come into faith. So there's a provision for the descendant of Ishmael to come into the faith. What's the provision? Believe. That's it. So it's now we now claim that he made a mistake. Thank you. But you believe in Abraham's blessing. Abraham's blessings, am I right? But the same man made a mistake. Well, I'm not saying he didn't make a mistake. I'm just saying to you that the mistake didn't catch God unaware. It didn't catch God unaware. God is aware that such was going to happen. So there was provision already for salvific experience, for salvation to find expression even in Ishmael. So what is Ishmael going to do? He subscribes. That's all. And when I'm talking about Ishmael, you know those I'm talking about. So what do they need? To believe. The Ishmael generation, if they are listening to me, is that nobody, hear me. Nobody is saved by good works. Nobody. Say, but he's a good man. Yes, we know that he's a good man. But it's not given that a man is saved by his good works. Because the best of your good works is like a filthy rags. There's something that truly produces true good works. Is faith in the salvation of Jesus. So when you believe in Jesus, you now become a workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto all good works. That reality is only available in Jesus, not in self. So if you have been told the lie that all you just need to do in this world when you come into this world is to be good, to do charitable works, to bless lives, all right, to know how to give. That's the crux of the Ishmaeli generation. That just know how to give. How to bless people. That God is counting your work. Ah! I've come to tell you that nobody is truly saved by good works. You are yourself, that yourself, no other name can save except the name of Jesus. There's no salvation in anywhere else except in Jesus. No salvation. Hallelujah. Salvation is not boring to you, right? It's boring. The entirety of the gospel is about salvation. Do we believe that? Yeah, it's about it. So if the church is recounting it, I was saying to somebody, I said, I don't assume that people are saved. No, I don't. So you see me goes to some places. Once I sense, even if you give me the topic that does not represent salvation at all, I will weave it in. There's a way I will end that thing in self. Because when you assume, something happened recently you will now see that we have many elders who are in church, but they are not saved. If because of a little rank, somebody can say that, me, I'm a Muslim. And the person has been in church for more than 70 years. Now, what could have sponsored that kind of statement? And that's the same thing that happens to some of us too. Small thing happens, say, is it because I became born again? I'm a bad boy. Forget it. Come, let's leave Jesus aside. Let's drop Bible. You have not been accosted with situations that we stir up yourself, that you will still know that you have self. You will know that you are your something is still running in your vein and it's called blood. I was telling you about the blood life, right? And the God life in one menorah meeting. I said the blood life is the life of appetite. It's an animalistic life. Are you following me? It's still in every man. That's why you can be 60 years in ministry and you can still fornicate. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's possible. That's why we must tame our flesh. We must tame it. We must tame it. And some people will think they have pastors over their head. Oh. Imagine that they say, who is your pastor? And you mention the name of a man that will come to meeting and do like this. I was seeing the video. There are places that we need to shut down in the spirit. I'm telling you the truth. Some of you don't know what we are talking about, so don't worry. we're going to one axis, myself and my brother, and we saw the poster everywhere. No, they have done it. You have not seen the video. You are missing. Hallelujah. I have given you pastors after my own heart who will feed you, That's the job of a pastor. Nothing else. To do what? To feed you. It's feeding. That's all. Feeding. If a pastor does any other thing, it's by his volition. Are you following me now? Feed. Feed. When he says to Peter, Simon Peter, son of Barjona, lovest thou me more than this? Said, yes, I love. He said, feed my sheep. Again, feed my lamb. Again, feed my sheep. It was what he left the church with. Because that church was established upon the revelation of Peter. Right? That thou art Christ, the son of the living God. Right? And what he left, and you know that when Jesus left, it was Peter that took over. That was why on the day of Pentecost, amongst others, he was one who arose and began to give perspective to the operations that busted out, the outbreak on the in the upper room, right? He says, this is what Joel prophesied about, that in the last days, I will pour my spirit upon all flesh, right? And that singular day, 3,000 souls were swept into the kingdom. Are you following me now? Now, it was because the church was, as it were, now the Bible calls three persons the pillar of the church. It calls Peter, it calls James and John the pillars of the church. That was how you saw that everywhere Jesus went, if it is secluded, the only persons that Jesus will extend invitation to are those three. Are we together now? Hallelujah. Amen. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. And worship
His holy name. Sing like never. Oh my soul.
Oh my soul. And worship His holy name. Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Oh
my soul.
And worship
His holy
name. Sing like never.
Sing like never.
Never before, yeah.
Oh, my soul.
And worship.
Worship His holy.
So when Jesus was going to hand over to Peter, what he said is, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed. Feed. Hallelujah. So, once you find that, you know who a pastor is. It's simple. It's not hard to know who a pastor is. It's not hard. There could still be confusions about who a prophet is. There are many confusions. Many. I can begin to highlight them to you, one after the other. Are you following me now? But it's easy to know who a pastor is. Is that that pastor will do what? He will feed you. It's not ambiguous. Hallelujah. All right. So let's get into. What did we just finish reading? John 8, right? Okay. So I want us to make progress. Let's read that Galatians 8 again. Please, you will just spare me. Maybe we're going to do it till 9 o'clock. So, we can finish today. Okay? I'm sorry. It's just because a whole lot of burden is cropping up. Okay? I'm sorry. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Right? That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So I was saying to us that we need to peruse and look into the realities of the Gentiles. Right? The Gentiles. Because it's not saying that the blessing, what's the blessing now? The salvation. That this blessing might come on the Gentiles. Notice it didn't talk about the Jews here. Because the point is, when God was advocating this blessing primarily, it was to the Jews. But there's now an extension to the Gentiles. That's why we have the new covenant. So that the salvation package is not exclusive to a race or to a tribe or to a nation. It's supposed to be a reality that is generic. Not exclusively preserved to some sect. It's supposed to be a generic reality. That everyone will come into the reality of salvation. That's why the Lord is promulgating the reality of extension to the Gentiles. So that the Gentiles nation, they can also come into the experience of the covenant hanging over Abraham. That's what we call the Abrahamic blessings. Or blessing. Are we together? So we need to look into what has been going on predominantly. How has the Gentiles been excommunicated from the commonwealth of Zion? How were the Gentiles accepted even without the blessing temporarily? Right? Because the truth is, there were many Gentiles who died. And yet, they were not in the covenant. So, how will God be just or justified to judge them? Do you understand what I'm saying? There were people, for instance, who didn't even hear about Jesus before their demise. How will God be just and justified to judge them? Knowing fully well that nobody can win against God. Nobody takes God to a court and wins. Is that true? You know, a time comes that everyone will stand to receive their judgment. All right? Nobody will have that effrontery to say that we are not aware. That we didn't know. Because there's a system on ground by which you'll be judged even without this reality. But that was then, before Jesus came. That one cannot apply now again. Are you following me? Romans chapter 2. Romans 2. Please, we are going to do long reading, okay? Romans 2. I just like to smile. Yeah. It's one of the baits that I use in ministry, okay? Glory to God. At least if you don't like the way I talk, you like the way I smile. You just like something. From verse 10. Somebody looked at me. I was in, I think I was sharing this yesterday where I was teaching, where I was ministering. Somebody looked at me and acute state. And said, the way you were 5 years ago is the same way you are Say, you are not aging. I said, I don't age. Oh, I boasted. Say, age, girl. Forever young. You know, it was shocking. Sir, I saw you 5 years ago. It was the same way you were that you are. You are not aging. That's the exact way he put it. I said, I don't age. Forever young. All of them laughed. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentiles. Now, you're not seeing God inculcating or incorporating the Gentiles into his reality. To the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. When he says there is no respect of persons with God, in what context? Between the Jews and the Gentile. That's the context. Okay? For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many, now listen, for as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. Are you getting this? This is talking about before the law of Moses came. There were people who sinned. And you are aware that the sin was not imputed then. But people sinned nonetheless. God wasn't pampering their sins. That Abraham lied about Sarah being his sister. It was, God wasn't pampering it. God loved sinners. He still loved them, but he hates sins. Are you following me now? Because people are not saying that, but Abraham lied. But this one did this. Hallelujah. The point is that everyone will be judged. Where you will be judged is different. But everyone will be judged. Christians alike. Are you following me now? Please let that ring in your spirit. That as I'm transiting, I'm going with my archive. And they'll begin to read. They judge your faithfulness in the work that God has given to your hands. How did you do it? They judge your faithfulness in soul winning. Let's tell you the truth. Let's call a spade a spade. Your loyalty is judged. That's what I began with. Is that true? Everything will be judged. So long as those things will profit the kingdom, those things that will profit the kingdom, they will be judged. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged out by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be just. So it means that those who were under the law and they did the law, they will be justified. And so without the stories that you are saying, that they did it in righteousness, they will be justified. Because that was what was permissible in those days. So God uses it to accept them. Scripture is clear. Alright, let's go ahead. For now, look at the lot of the Gentiles. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law. Now, the truth is, the Gentiles had no law. Because the law wasn't given to them. Are you aware of that? The law was only given to the Jews. The Gentiles had no law. So, the fact that they didn't have no law, does that mean they will live anyhow? That they live recklessly? Imagine. Please. Are we together? Now, how were they living? They were living without the law, right? The law that was given to the Jews. So, does that mean they live anyhow? No. Now, hear what the Bible says. The Bible says, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. What is he talking about? Morality. That you are aware that it's not good to steal. Though you don't have the law, but your conscience begins to speak to you. I said, this, what you are doing is wrong. Before many of us got born again, we had a witness that speaks to us that, Kai, what you are doing is wrong. Isn't it? If that was your state, and you didn't hear about Jesus at all till you die, you'll be judged by that state. And you'll be justified by that state. There are people who are on earth right now who do not have Jesus. Right? But they are living morally. My point is not that they will be received though. Because their reception is by saying yes to Jesus. My point is that it's possible to be moral. That's my point. It's possible. I'm a living witness. That was how I lived my life. By morality. Before I knew that there was a vacuum. That morality does not equal spirituality. You can be moral and you are not spiritual. So there must be a point that you must learn to switch. Right? So it's possible that before you met Jesus, you were doing fine. You said you were not going to fornicate. You stood by it. You said you were not going to do the, but the point is that you can't be 100%. Right? But even if you are 50, 60, I'm telling you about those in this state, in their days, even if they are 60%, but like because they didn't hear about Jesus, they are justified by that measure. Is it clear to you now? Mm-hmm. Outline. So the Bible says to us that if they do by nature, what was this nature? Not the nature of Christ in them, the moral nature, the natural nature. It means that that nature had sense enough to correct your errors. Right? That nature had sense enough to say that you are wrong, to say that you are right. So the Bible says to us that if they do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, right? Which should the work of the law written where? Their conscience also bear aleko mesaila. Their conscience also bearing witness and their thoughts demean while accusing or else excusing one another. Are you saying this? You see, the Bible is so clear. You can't be stupid enough not to understand it. Are you following me now? It's so clear. When you take your time, you begin to see light. So, is there no excuses? No, I'm not aware. No, I don't know. Oh, I was not told. Are you following me now? There's already a system that God has put in place to ensure that everyone is judged. And that judging is a justifying judging. It is a judge that comes with just. Let's read for now. In the day when God shall what? Are you seeing what I've been teaching you? In the day when God shall judge, what will he judge? The secrets of men. Ha! I wish I can talk to you about this. The secrets of men. Is that your actions can be acceptable, but God can judge the motive behind your actions. That you want to hang around the ministry for gain. God is not looking at the gain. He's not looking at your action. He's looking at your intention, your motive, the gain in your heart. Sir, if I do well, Bishop will do this to me. If I do well, Pastor will do this to me. God is saying that the secrets of men, the pastor might not know it, but he knows it. And that secret will be judged. That your purpose for doing soul winning, you know, now they have told us that soul winning, when you do it, you'll be blessed. So that's what is motivating men to win souls. That the secret of men will be what? Will be judged. So when I stand at the bus stop and share flyer, and share flyers, God will bless me. Amen. When I share flyer on status, God will bless me. Those things are good, but those are not the motives behind doing them. Are you following me now? You should share flyer on status. You should be lawyer, all of those. But you are not doing them for gain. Don't forget, of such men depart. Don't forget. That's what I began with. Of such men, do what? When they think that ministry is for gain. No, sir. Bible says that's work. God shall judge. See, this is the office of God. God is a judge. Hello? God is what? He judges intentions. He judges motives. That's why his primary place of operation is first within the heart. You can say, Pastor, good evening, sir. But in your heart, you are standing up. Say, what's wrong with him? So the point is that the whole church saw you as a loyal person, as an humble person, but God is seeing you as a beast. You are a beast. Men see that you are bowing down. But heaven is seeing a beast. Because he is bowing down physically, but spiritually he is rising. So who is he? Is it because we are following him? Are you following me now? Some of those thoughts, if you don't begin to drop them, I'm saying to you that you'll be judged. You know, it's my responsibility to teach you as a pastor. Everyone following is that God looks at your heart. Say, we are the one helping the ministry. You, what are you helping? Can you help God? It means that there are many alternatives to you. A man came and he began to make mouth. Say, I'm the reserved and the only prophet remaining in town. Nobody can beat it. And God said, and you know one thing about God? The moment you are beginning to have that kind of volition, God is already telling you, go and anoint Jehu. Your replacement. To show you that there are alternatives to you. When Moses was fumbling, God already prepared Joshua. Go and lay hands on Joshua. Your own ministry has ended. Who are you? Say, I'm the one helping the work. You. What are you helping? What are you helping? Many alternatives. And God said, come, mature one. There are 7,000 prophets who are even pious more than you. They are pious. They have not bowed their knees unto Baal. You have done all manner of things. You ran away from Jezebel. Are you following me now? They have not bowed their knees unto Baal. Sir, nobody is indispensable. Mm-mm. Nobody. You don't get to a point that you are hurting your heart. Say, I'm the one at the end of affair. I'm at the vanguard. If not because of me, you know, there are people that, if not, the ministry will not go like that. Say, you want to die. And because those are statements of death, when you begin to come to, you are actually digging your grave. I tell you the truth. You are digging your grave. Because such statements kill men faster. Pride is a weakness. Humility is strength. And pride kills. Are you following me? Learn. Pride does what? Pride goeth before destruction. It does. An haughty spirit. You have not arrived. You are nothing. You are some are just. You get invitation for ministration once in a while. We will not hear what. Are you following me now? The whole town will be shaking. Say, that place that things happen. What about men who are doing it every day? Is that the more you grow, the more you are humble. The sign that you are not growing is that you are not humble. I tell you the truth. I've noticed that men who are deep, they are not shouty. They keep mute. As I am, if I'm anywhere, I just keep quiet. You will not know that I know anything. That's me. I was recently somewhere on Friday. I think I was telling my wife that the person, since I got to the place, the guy has just been talking. Talking about his exploit when we're on campus. Well done, sir. I didn't say anything. That's me. You can some of you have followed me. You know I will just keep mute. What? Well, I'm invited to minister. When I'm done ministry, I don't make mouth. I don't. We were campus. I knew about that guy in a sitting. Not two sitting. Not Wahe Koneko. Just one. One sitting. When you check them, when you weigh them in the spirit, you know they are empty. People who are deep don't make mouth. They don't shout. I prefer to learn. When I'm in the midst of people, I'll just be, look, I mean, I don't know anything. Amen? There are a lot we need to learn. There are a lot. People wonder how I know how to find my way in some areas, having never learned them. I know many of you have learned a lot of things indirectly by hanging around, and it's working over your life. I've heard reports, sir, this that you're doing, these are many of those things are the things that I learned by the Holy Ghost. I tell you the truth, God is my witness. They are not the things that I was sat down to be taught by a man. It's by the Spirit. Many of them, I'm not saying all of them. And one of such is honor. You can't beat me in that. You can't. Glory to God. I know if you meet any father, one of the things that they must say about me is honor. Hallelujah. Let's make progress. What happened? Okay. In the day when God shall judge the secret of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel, behold, thou art called a Jew. Where? Okay. And rested in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Right? Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Okay? Thou that said a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Do you understand the context of this reading, right? It's talking about the Jew. Okay? Thou that makest thy boast of the law through the breaking the law, dishonoreth thou God. Are you saying that? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. Now, let's pay attention. Please go up a little bit. Yeah. Now, listen. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through who? The Jews, as it is written, for circumcision verily profiteth, if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Are these things clear to us? You know the language of circumcision, right? Circumcision is just a token, a sign of the covenant, right? Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the, who are the uncircumcision? Gentiles. Keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision does transgress the law? For he, now, beautiful. Now listen, for he is not a Jew which is one outwardly. This is where we break the shell. The Bible says to us that you don't know a Jew outwardly. So some of those parameters that they have put in place to recognize a Jew, that's not actually the accurate way of recognizing a Jew. That you wear a particular clothes, that you have a particular demeanor or visage or dressing sense and all of those things. He said that for he is not a Jew. You know, I was explaining this to you, that the Jew were by nature, by nativity, the descendant of Abraham, that's physically. But spiritually speaking, those who are yet to acknowledge Jesus, they are the seed of the devil. So that statement of universalism, saying that all men will be saved, most importantly the Jews, it's a lie. If you do not believe, you are not saved. Because for he is not a Jew outwardly. Outwardly. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. So, if this is true, why did the Lord say to them to do them? Because it was the Lord who instructed that they circumcise. But the new covenant, of course, you know as of now, that the new covenant explains the old covenant. Those were just signs. For example, when the Lord said to them, under the law, or let me say, under the law, when they were killing turtle doves, lambs, for the remittances of sins, that was just a symbolic expression of the, that was a figure of him that was to come. Are you following me now? So, all of the things that happened then were figurative expressions. They were symbols. They were signs. They were tokens. They were not truly the reality. So when God, the Lord said that, circumcise your flesh, it was just a sign, a symbol, a figure. That's not the real thing. In the new covenant, there's no permission anymore for anyone to kill turtle doves for the remission of sins, because Jesus had fulfilled that. It's settled, done and dusted forever. In the same vein, you are not going to be justified by circumcision. That is physical. Are you following me now? The circumcision that the Lord intends originally is the circumcision of the heart. Philippians 3:3. Are we together? Okay. Now, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But now let's look at who the true Jew is. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly. The Bible is amazing. And circumcision is that of the heart. In the spirit and not in the letter. Whose praise is not of men, but of God. That's the last, right? But of God. Philippians 3:3, let's read that again. Philippians 3:3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. You know the meaning of this? The circumcision in the flesh. The true circumcision. And the true Jew is the Jew that is in the spirit. Not the natural Jew. So that was why Jesus had the effort to tell them that, of course, you are Abraham's seed, but the truth is that you are not also Abraham's seed. Because if you were Abraham's seed, you would do the work of Abraham, right? But in verse 44 of John 8, it says, ye are of your father, the devil. Speaking to the Jews. Hallelujah. Right. Ooh. We cannot last till 9, right? I think we are going to make progress. Okay, we are going to have part 4. Because I still have the things to show us. We still have about 3 or 4 scriptures to consult. Hallelujah. The job of a pastor is to teach. I'm not tired, though. I'm sure you are aware. I'm not tired. I'll be going to Illinois next week, and I saw the number of hours they gave me to teach. I said, correct. This one, they understand. 20 minutes. I can't do anything as such. And that's also why I love the North. When they are inviting you, they invite you for days. So they can have ample time. Hallelujah. I'll be going to Abuja next week too. And the man said to me that, you know, initially it was supposed to be 3 days, Thursday, Friday, no, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Now I said, but on Saturday, that you will teach all two. How was happy. That's my joy. Amen. That you stand from morning and you're dropping the mic in the evening. Teaching. Disputing. That's the beauty of the church. Do you understand? It's the beauty of the church. We should not be tired of teaching. That if pastor wants to go, say, no, don't go, sir. We want more. Amen. That's the way you survive. Man or man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Every word. So anywhere I see that people are willing to receive God's word, my spirit is lifted to deliver. I've been to some couple of places like that in the north that one of the young man went to one of those places and he gave me a report. He said, the guys in this corridor, they are hungry. I said, he represented Prophet Abraham because he couldn't make it. He said, I said, I like to go there. He said, they spoke about you. He said, because you see their heart to receive. I think it was in Mina. That I took mic from morning on Saturday till night. I was crawling home like this to enter into the car that they used to deliver. They suck. But it's worth it. It's worth it. And those guys are doing well. No distraction. You need to visit some of those corridors. Those guys are power. One of them is the person we'll be ministering together in Abuja. That guy is. Glory to Jesus. Let's go. So we have part four. Hallelujah. Glory. Let's rise to our feet. Meanwhile, there will be Bible study next week, okay? That I'm not around does not mean that Bible study wouldn't hold. And it is now, you now know the heart of people. I will get a report of those who will be around. We now know those who are coming for pastor and those who are coming for the word. Amen. Say, pastor is not coming. Oh, thank God. I won't come. It means that there's something wrong with you. I say it for free. Because the time comes that you will not see me. Jesus prophesied that, and it's happening. A time will come that ye shall not see me again. Menorah confession. Hallelujah. I am in the company of the God class. I live in the supernatural clan. I do things natural supernaturally. And things supernatural naturally. I have rule and authority over sin, death, sickness, and poverty, immortality, and supernaturality are my realities. Even in my mortality, no one can talk me out of the supernatural. I am completely supernatural. Shout, I am complete in Christ. Glory to God forevermore. Shalom.
We believe you have been greatly blessed. To connect with us more, follow us on our social media platforms at Menorah SOS on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also join us live every first and last Saturday of the month on Facebook and MixLR at Menorah-SOS. Thank you for listening.